Summer. There's just something about it. The blistering sun, the aroma of a barbie,
getting stuck to the seat in the car,
and of course, cricket.
That's how it's done.
From these tiny seedlings will grow graceful willows, not planted simply to please the eye, but for a specific purpose.
Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin. Trade strong. This is Triple M's Willow Talk.
Yes, Triple M Cricket is back with Willow Talk. I'm Nerilee Meadows. I've got Adam Gilchrist and Merv Hughes alongside me. And I tell you what, it is tough to be a West Australian at the moment, Gilly. First the Aussies, then the Scorchers. That was just a tough day at the office.
That's a double bunger, that, isn't it? You're just trying to get over the Aussie loss. As hard as they fought, and they hung in there, nice foundation laid in the one-day setup to work from. But then you get back to the hotel, you have a look at the TV, you see a really nice rearguard action from the Scorchers at the end of the innings, but 16 off the last over. Merv, stop smiling at me.
Merv is feeling 16. A little bit dusty at the moment.
Yeah, that's
Merv
right.
Merv is
we'll
a little bit grumpy. And
I'm just away in my own little world. I wasn't even listening to you, Gil.
I was trying to go easy on Merv there to kick things off.
Thank you, Nerilee.
Merv, well, we were working on the cricket yesterday, which turned out to be a thriller, but won by India. You were at a function.
A function. So Cricket Victoria 200 Club. So all the guys that have been involved in 200 club games of cricket, so scorers, umpires, players, have a get-together once a year, and last night was it.
They're thirsty, those groups?
Very thirsty.
Yeah.
Did you leave anything behind?
A little bit wounded today. So. But you're right. How good's Dhoni? We forget how good Dhoni is, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he came in with a few question marks, didn't he? Yeah. Rishabh Pant was out here flaying away in the test matches, and what an entertaining cricketer. But Dhoni just locked in. He was patient in the first one, cranked it up in Adelaide, and then last night just timed it beautifully.
And Rishabh Pant actually talks to us as well. Yeah, so, you know, we're a bit biased.
Well, what about that? I went to MS Dhoni. As you know, Ms. Mark Howard's been the gun roving reporter throughout the test series, and I was given that opportunity. I don't want that opportunity because Howie is too good and he embarrasses everyone that tries to follow up. But I was given that task to get out there. We wander around the players pre-game, Merv, and you sort of feel like you've got a bit of access all areas because you've played against a lot of them, the older ones, and you've got to know the younger ones. And they all want to talk. But I went over to Dhoni. I said, mate, I'm targeting you today. I'm going to get you. Your last game in Australia goes no chance. And I said, no. You know, and lighthearted, I said, come on, mate, last game. A thank you from Australia. No chance. And I said, well, when was the last time you did an interview? 2011. Not a word of a lie. When he resigned as captain and retired from test.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
When he retired from the test arena, no interviews ever since. It's been 8 years.
So it's pretty much the 10-year challenge. There's MS Dhoni with a microphone in front of him and then MS Dhoni just blanking Adam Gilchrist.
Oh, what a policy.
All right, plenty coming up on Willow Talk this morning. We'll chat some more BBL after last night's thriller out west. There's more selection issues that I think we need to be raising after the performance by the boys down in Tassie.
Injuries too.
And injuries as well. There's been a star left out of this test series. So we'll get stuck into that and a whole lot more and have a bunch of fun with those retro strips, Merv Hughes style. I'm Nerilee Meadows. I've got the greats, Adam Gilchrist and Merv Hughes alongside me. And when I say the greats, I mean the great pest when I'm talking about Merv Hughes. He really is frustrating, isn't he, Gilly? I can imagine what he was like in the rooms. Because when we worked with him on Triple N, there was just constantly the fingers in
the ears, the poking.
He's pointing at me.
He can't comment. He's about 30 years younger than me. He wasn't in the rooms.
I'll tell you what was annoying. In my first year of one-day cricket for WA, I moved over from New South Wales. My first year, what was it called then? The Mercantile Mutual Cup or something.
That was
annoying. The Victorians chose to wear shorts and having Merv steaming in the big tash, the full frame, the big rig, and then the little pin sticking out from a pair of shorts with a white bike pants underneath. That's annoying.
Yeah, not our finest moment, that.
We're going to get to retro kits later on, aren't we?
We will indeed, but we want to talk a little bit of the one day. It was the decider yesterday at the MCG after a little bit of a rain delay. The Aussies, well, they got off to a bit of a shaky start, ended up putting together a pretty decent total with the help of Pete Hanscom, who put together his second 50 of this series. But I tell you what, with the ball, it was just a case of missed opportunities. Yeah. Two runouts missed, two drop catches by Maxwell and Hanscom, who you'd bank in any day of the week. And then even one when MS Dhoni was on 34, should have been out for a duck, was on 34. the replay showed a little bit of an inside edge. There was a noise. Good he noise. Turned around. Siddle should have had him on 34 if there was an appeal,
just
probably.
Didn't have a wholehearted appeal. Glenn Maxwell was at backward point on that one, and he sort of charged in. But it
he
was
appeals
more...
for everything, Gil.
He would have been appealing after dropping him first ball. Yes. But,
he looked filthy as well on the outfield later in the game. He knew when MS Stoney was finishing it off, he knew he had him on zero.
Very
and Stoinis would have been a hat-trick.
Uncharacteristic of Maxi and Pete Hanscom, as you say, at first slip when Coley was on 10. As you know, Murph, top teams, you just cannot give them a second chance.
Top players.
Yeah.
So you give each of those guys a couple of run-outs that could have been had. You can't give them one chance, let alone two or three.
They
did it comfortably.
They kept hitting the stumps when they were in, and when they were out, they were just missing.
And conversely, the catch that got Maxwell out was an absolute ripper.
Mm.
And so that changes the game.
Yep.
So if Maxi bats, say there was 15 overs to go there, if Maxwell bats another 5-10 overs, Australia get another 70-80 runs, don't
they? They have looked completely up for it right from the moment they turned up on this tour of the Indians, in every facet, and that's... driven by Virat Kohli. He just sets such a high standard, high expectations, and he expects his team to come with him.
And I've got to say, it's been a real joy the amount of time we've got to see Virat Kohli and MS Dhoni at the crease together this series. Obviously, probably the last time
From a non-bowling point of view, that's exactly right, Ned.
But you do have those moments, don't you, where you sit back and you go, this is probably the last time we're going to see this on... I mean, we were saying that to MS Dhoni at the World Cup here 4 years ago, but it's probably now the last time we're going to see them together on Aussie soil.
Yeah, I would think so, for sure. Dhoni will get to the World Cup. I don't think he'll go much longer after that.
You wouldn't think so. It's a real tilt for the World Cup, isn't it? So he's come back in. And there were question marks over it. What he's done has been absolutely fantastic.
Yep.
The innings in Adelaide just measured it. Yesterday or last night, you have a look at the way he batted. A lot of blokes, even senior experienced blokes, get a little bit panicky. And he just drifts along. He's like he's in... about neutral rolling down a hill.
Yep.
The Zampa over where he just blocked every ball.
Let a couple go. Just, oh, mate, we got plenty of time.
And that was just because Zampa had one more over. He thought, I don't need to take a risk against him.
Yep.
It built some pressure up. I wondered what it was doing to the bloke at the other end, the other batsman going, that's fine, but if you get out, MS, that's putting pressure on me to get the job done. But he doesn't get out. He gets it done.
So you're very close with JL, Justin Langer.
Yep.
How would he looked pretty filthy last night. How would he be feeling from the point of view of, would he sit there and look and go, okay, we were playing a really good opposition and we probably should have won. So that's good signs for a team that's sort of transitioning, I guess. Or would he be walking away going, not good enough, fuming, that should have been our series?
Both. He covers across pretty much every emotion, JL.
and a few
but
more.
What he does do, and he doesn't, he's not good at poker. He doesn't sort of hide the face very well. He's pretty expressive in his emotions. But once the dust settles and all the emotion sort of gets taken out of the immediacy, he then settles really well and he has a good perspective on it. And he knows there's a foundation to work from. Warner, Smith, possibly Bancroft could come back into the equation. He's been doing well in the Big Bash. He could provide a keeping option if they wanted to go that way. But anyway, there's those reinforcements, the bowlers that didn't play this particular one-day series. So he knows there's a bit to work with there.
So selection... Sorry, mate.
No, I was just going to say, for the World Cup side next year is going to look totally different. As you said, Warner, Bancroft and Smith come back in. You would think that Cummings, Stark and Hazelwood would have an impact in that too. Mitch Marsh, we haven't mentioned him. He's going to be right up there. And he's a very good player in that middle order, especially the one days. And Sean Marsh, what about his one-day form compared to his test form? He just goes out there and just looks so comfortable,
give Sean Marsh one more crack at test cricket before he goes out there, put a set of glasses on him.
Let him wear yellows.
Turn the colour red to white and bang.
Mate, it's amazing, isn't it, the transition from that. And a lot of guys, and he's an experienced player, but a lot of players have problems going from red ball to white ball, and he just does it so easily.
Yeah,
it's really interesting when you talk about the World Cup too, because Smith and Warner, we know, are now under injury clouds with their elbows. Josh Hazelwood has been just ruled out of the test series with another issue. So the fact that he's going to be a little bit underdone potentially for the World Cup, they think he'll be ready, but there's a lot of underdone stars as we head in there, and there wasn't a lot of batting power at the tail end there for the Aussies when they were required. You look at somebody like a Nathan Kuldanawa, who apparently had a sore back, then went on and played with the Scorchers and was absolutely smacking them at the tail.
One certainty out of that for me, Adam Zampa must play. last night, did a great job. For me, he's the World Cup set and forget now. Get him in there.
All right, next we're going to go retro. Merv Hughes, retro. Think right in front of the crowd, stretching one way, then the other. Everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to delve into it. And I tell you what, the producer has come up with some gold here. Gilly was just reminiscing about Merv Hughes playing in shorts for Victoria, and the producer has come up with a photo, and it's involving Brad Hodge in the middle there and Tony Donohue as well, but Hodgie's hair. I didn't think a photo of Hodgie looking young actually existed. He's that old, but this is absolutely amazing stuff, Gilly.
You might be delving into the areas of the top five today, Nez. Don't peek too early with that one, but it
top,
is well
top five worst
seen.
Ideas in cricket.
Oh, I don't know.
That's number one.
I don't know.
The skin burns that you got on the legs when you're diving around in shorts.
You did pick up a few
ridiculous.
Extra wickets from the batsmen having tears in their eyes, either through laughter or fright.
Oh,
more fright, I think.
We'll put it out on social media because I tell you what, it'll put a pep in your step this Saturday.
Yeah, have a good look at that photo on social media. Have a look at the boots that I'm wearing, close up of the boots. I forgot my boots that day, so I've actually coloured in a pair of socks. And no one knew any different. You have a look at it, and they just look like boots.
Humus.
Yeah, and had the hole in the toe and everything, Gil.
Thumbtacks through the bottom.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
Oh, Merv Hughes, there is only one of you. Oh. And that's why one of the most famous memories that we all have of one day cricket and retro strips is you interacting with the crowd. Talk us through your memories of that day, because it's just imprinted on every cricket fan's mind.
Talking about the retro shirts, for mine, I'm that old that I started playing one day cricket when we didn't have the names on the back of them.
Mm.
And then I've missed the numbers altogether. So that's how old I am. So we get down to the MCG, and it was a rain-delayed game. And it was before Duckworth Lewis, and we'd made a heap of runs. And the way it used to pan out there, the side batting second were handicapped badly. And Rackerman and Alderman started, bowled about five overs each. So after about 10 overs, I reckon Pakistan were maybe two or three for about 24. So they're out of the game. So the crowd need a little bit of something. AB turned around to me. I'm in front of Bay 13. Yeah, warm up, you're bowling the next over. So doing the stretches down there, and every time I do a stretch, big roar behind. Every time I turn around, nothing happening. No screens either. I'm that old. So I'm thinking, what the hell's going on here? So get up, bowl the first over. And I thought I did all right. I only went for 17, so I was pretty happy with that. Dino came over after. Good over, big fella. Yeah, happy days. And he said, you know what's going on down there? I said, no. He said, mate, where we're standing, it looks great. Every time you do an exercise, there's about 20,000 people behind you doing the same exercise.
That's brilliant.
I said, what are you going to do here? I said, I'll have some fun. So I started running from side to side with my fists out and stuff like that. You know it from playing at the Wacker in New South Wales, being New South Wales boys. When you play a home test match, the support you get is just that little bit greater.
Yep.
And when you're playing in front of the crowd at the MCG, the support the Victorians get is phenomenal.
Unless
India's
playing.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's right.
I was going to bring that up last night. Normally Australia play at the MCG. It's a home game. Like that would have been an away game last night.
Yep.
There was about 35,000 people there and 32,000 Indians.
Downtown Mumbai, Melbourne.
Yeah, but even when Maxwell went out last night and Hanscom go out last night, the cheer's just a little bit louder.
Yeah.
So the support we get from the Victorian crowd at the G is fantastic.
And on the flip side, if you're a West Australian like Mitch Marsh, you just get booed.
Yeah, well, mate, Steve Waugh and Mark Waugh used to get booed back in the day. So it must be just brothers.
Heels got booed in Perth all the time.
Well, he took over.
Tim Zura.
Yeah. Well,
I got booed in Perth.
You got booed at Gabba, didn't you?
Zura.
First test?
Yeah.
Because you took over from Healy.
Yeah, who's that
by? Yeah, I can't remember him. But I still reckon the best one was Wayne Phillips when he replaced Jeff Marsh for a test at the Wacker.
Wayne Phillips, South Australian.
No, the Victorian.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
So he played the one test match.
Yes, yes.
And every time he went near the ball, West Australia just booed him. Now, it's not his fault he's been selected, but I can still remember just him running down, chasing the ball to the boundary, picked it up, and he's just copping it open. He just turned around, just gave the double bird to the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's Rowdy's the quietest player of all time. What's going on? Like, it's amazing.
But Tim Zura was next level in WA. I was a kid, and I had an imaginary friend, as you do when you're a little tacker. I was younger than Ted, your boy that you've brought in today, and I called my imaginary friend Zura.
Ziggy.
I thought that was a good name for an imaginary friend.
Nice.
So Tim Zura was a big deal in WA, and then you just came in and...
Yeah, I copped it. I got belted over there.
Narrowly hate you.
Yeah.
So we're really getting to the crux of it now, aren't we?
I can disappear now if you want. If you want to imagine you
bring back Timmy
here.
Zura. it's retro time. But how good do those shirts look, like last night on the Australian, all
amazing.
Through the series?
And we'll chat about them a little bit more later because they are absolutely phenomenal. I'm a massive fan. Howie is away this week. He was in Perth last night for the Scorchers up against the Hurricanes.
Jeez,
it means
he'd be happy with that result too, Howie. That drives a dagger through my heart.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
How narrowly feels about you, I feel about Howie. Now, I know you're going to introduce the top five. I was in here a couple of weeks ago. You did the top five best mustaches in cricket.
Where'd you poll?
Second.
No.
A load of crap.
Who trumped you?
Oh, Booney. Mm. Load of crap. So make yours a good five.
I had a few to pick from.
I'm going to do my top two shit blokes. Number two, Greg Blewett, because he laughed. And number one, Howie. There you go. There's my list.
Howie's just jealous because he can't grow a mo or any facial hair. All right, it's time for the top five.
Now on Triple M's Willow Talk.
Five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Howie's top five.
Rightio, I've got the reins this week for the top five, and I'm going to get in with the theme of things that have been going around, retro strips. We've just heard, Merv, about you wearing your retro down in front of Bay 13 and getting away with a few interesting warm-ups. So I'm going to go top five sporting retro strips. And I'm going to start number five, coming in an expansion club for the AFL many, many years ago. They did have a foundation group here, but they've gone up there and they got onto the Gold Coast at Carrara. The Brisbane Bears.
Hey.
I remember the image of Brad Hardy, a Brownlow medalist at the Western Bulldogs, or Footscray as they were then, getting up there, his beautiful complexion filling out that sort of yellow and brown, baby poo brown of the Brisbane Bears. It was a poor strip all round, and it was...
Yeah, that's just no good.
Well, they're no longer around, are they? So that shows you how well the Brisbane Bears retro strip went. But, so that's my number five. There's a little bit of an image around
the
there.
The font of Hardy.
Well, the flame red hair of Bradley. Hello to Brad. I know he'd be listening out there, but he's a good man. But, that was... So
you're not having a go at him. You're having a go at the strip. Or you're having going at the strip on him.
Oh, no, just the strip. But he's the image that comes to mind, being the marquee signing. So there's number five. Number four, we're going to change codes. We're going to go to another baby poo brown at number four, and that's the Penrith Panthers in the NRL, or the Rugby League, New South Wales Rugby League it was back then. For those in Melbourne that don't know, they currently wear, it's a black with a bit of green and yellow and red. It's pretty cool sort of looking number, but in the 80s and prior their whole history, it was a chocolate brown with white. Royce Simmons was the captain out there. Brandy Alexander, big Mark Geyer played out there too. Triple M's own Mark Geyer. So, well, there you go. That is the chocolate brownies out at the foothills
chocolate
of Penrith.
Brownies.
That's right. There you go. I'm not sure if I'm more interested in the name or the strip, but it wasn't one that they were particularly pleased with. So
that sounds putrid.
They changed it around and it looked putrid too. So the Penrith Panthers in there at number four. Another change of code. Now, this particular team, they are a national team. They go to World Cups. They represent us beautifully. But I'm more interested in the time when they had the likes of Robbie Slater and Paul Wade, Paul Trimboli, if you don't mind. No, I'm not talking about Griffith and the drug lords out there. It's the Socceroos, our beloved Socceroos. And they wore, and I think it was 1990, it wasn't in the 80s, but they wore a strip that was atrocious. It looked like Ken Doan had been set fair with a paintbrush of green and yellow and white, and the image of our great Robbie Slater in there as well with his sort of flame blonde red hair.
How come with every bad outfit, the person modelling has got red hair? What's going on there?
It's like an Australian unicorn has just vomited over a top.
That's a good description, yeah.
I feel like during that period, graphic designers, they got new technology that meant that they could do these weird, crazy little patterns, and they just took it too far across all sporting codes.
My word. And normally a really average pair of short shorts to go with it, which Robbie Slater, I think, was sporting there. So that's the Socceroos number.
Now, can
Huey
I just
does not
re-
like shorts.
Rewind to the start of this segment when you said you're just going to whip through this quickly?
All right.
We've been doing this for an hour and a half.
Move on here. That's number three. Number two, the Australian Open is on at the moment.
Oh, yes.
A man that's not featuring on the court, he is in commentary, the great John McEnroe. Now, just Google any strip that he wore in the 80s. Talking about short shorts.
Here's Warwick Capper of tennis.
Absolutely. The back. I think it was a Sergio Cicchini, however you say that word, but the sponsor. The brat, he was all about
how
lots of
breathe?
Noise, spinning the dummy.
Gold.
That's
this
what he was so grumpy gilly. About. Someone was squeezing his Jets crackers.
This is gold, Gilly, pure gold.
So when he talks about the ball being in, was he?
Had no chance of being out, did it? It was that compactly put away there. Oh. Number two, the great super brat there. Oh. And number
one. Can we have
a drum roll? Here we go, retro strips. I was considering the current Australian strip. In the one days, but that's going to get a mention later on in the program. That is a absolute belter. But the number one, we did mention it earlier, the Victorian playing strip, the Mercantile Mutual, purely so that everyone goes onto our social media, have a look at Merv, Tony Dottomade, and little Bunky Hodge with the massive big hairdo. But number one thing you got to do, check out Merv's footwear in that photo.
Yeah, so we've got to have an apology too. For that pink strip the West Indies wore in the World Series.
Oh, the salmon? Yeah,
that
was
terrible. That was just no good. But yeah, you're right. That was terrible.
There you go. There's my top five. Four strips. Victoria win.
Very good top five, Gilly. All right, after the break, we're going to look ahead to the Test Series up against Sri Lanka and some injury news out of the Aussie camp. The Test Series against Sri Lanka. Test cricket's not over yet. It starts on Thursday on Fox Cricket. And there's some big injury news emerging this morning. And that is that star quick Josh Hazlewood has been ruled out. Basically, Jai Richardson is the man that comes in. But it's a back injury for Josh Hazlewood. Early signs of stress fractures in the same lower back area as his previous injury from last summer. So not great signs. They're hopeful that he will be right for selection for the Cricket World Cup in the UK later this year. But Josh Hazlewood out of the team. Jai Richardson gets his opportunity after his performances in Shield cricket and also in the One Dayers. Merv, was that the right call, Jai Richardson, in this morning?
I think it could be, but I don't think it is at this time. His performance over the last 12 months, 18 months have been fantastic. I've sort of first caught up with him in the Big Bash a couple of years ago and he just looked impressive. He's done all the right things, but I suppose it's new blood into the team, which is a positive. But against Sri Lanka, with the way the season's gone, you'd have to feel for Peter Siddle.
Well, he's still in the squad.
Yeah, but whether
he
plays or not.
So you'd play him?
I reckon I'd play Siddle because, just because of the way the season's gone, I reckon to blood a new player in this series, I reckon I'd go with the experience. So it's great that he's been introduced into the squad. Whether he plays or not's another thing. So I'm hoping Sid gets a run, to be honest. But if he plays, and you've got to play blokes before they're ready, has he done enough? Probably. Is he a promising young cricketer? Absolutely. So it could be a good call.
Chris Tremaine might feel a bit disappointed too, because he was in the squad initially in the summer.
Yeah,
he was against India.
He's played the tour game down in Tasmania.
He was basically in the squad in Adelaide and then basically dropped out of it from there. So he was still in the picture. But yeah, they've gone for Jai Richardson. I mean, from an outsider point of view, I sit there going, this feels a little bit, once again, like the selectors. He's had one really good performance in the One Dayers. And let's hop on what's hot at the moment. He was in the picture about a year ago as well, Jai Richardson. So are you a little bit worried about what they're doing in that sort of space?
There's been it's been scattered selections throughout the summer, really. But again, that tells me that there's not a lot of players that are just genuinely jumping out saying, I have to be picked. So then they start sifting through, looking for performances, searching. But I think this selection's based on pace. They just want genuine pace on the ball. Not that Hazlewood was the quickest in the attack, but they're considering we get someone in there that allows us, the day-nighter up at the Gabba, and Richardson also swung the ball last night.
Yeah.
But who knows? We'll wait and see. And I know Justin was very strong in getting Sids back involved as soon as he came in. Reliability, build-up of pressure. So I wouldn't be surprised if Siddle got a chance as well.
I've got a question for you.
Yep.
How tall is he?
Jai
He's
Richardson.
A little whippet.
Yeah, not...
So that worries me about fast bowlers and probably Chad Sayers too. He hasn't got the pace, but they haven't got the height. So in Shield cricket, it's okay. In Test cricket, you know yourself, Gilly, the bowlers that you have the most problems with are the ones that bounce. So he's not going to get that bounce. So if he bowls a short ball, it's got to be real short to worry the batsman.
Yeah.
So I've got a concern about short. Blake's under 6 foot bowling.
I'm looking at Merv and I'm thinking about Jai Richardson, and Merv would eat Jai Richardson.
Use him as a toothpick.
Yeah, just an entree.
But listen, I hear what you're saying,
He's
Merv.
An absolutely, has he got the talent to do it? Yes.
Yeah.
He's got good pace. He swings the ball away, as you said, and a day-night test match could really suit him up there. But I've just got concerns about those guys that aren't that tall.
All right.
Malcolm Marshall comes to mind.
Yes. Well, always one out of the box, isn't it? But I hope he goes on to play 70 tests and take 400 wickets. That'd be fantastic.
Even Bumrah's not a huge guy either.
But I reckon, going back to the original point, Merv, that Richardson has Test cricket written all over him.
Yep.
Whether it's next week or next year or in the Ashes, I don't know. But he's a good talent. He showed a lot of promise here in the one days, and it's a nice problem in that regard that if one of our big quicks goes down, we've got some backup coming in.
Yeah, and then you look at the batting and it's not much more of a positive conversation.
Isn't it?
wasn't a great rehearsal down in Hobart, was it?
Well, it was an interesting decision from a journalistic point of view when they decided to name the test squad so far out, because here I was thinking somebody like a Sean Marsh would have the one dayers to push his case for another chance at test level, rightly or wrongly. He then comes into the one dayers and does absolutely brilliantly, a 50 and 100. Then... Meanwhile, down in Hobart, they already named the test squad. Soss was left out of it. They named blokes like Renshaw, Burns, Labuschagne, these guys. Well, Renshaw's...
Bukowski.
Bukowski, yes. Renshaw scored 7 and 10, Burns scored 4 and 22, and Labuschagne scored 6 and 33, not out. Cole Patterson was the one, 157 runs. And I know Mark Waugh is a big fan of Patterson's. First question, did they get the selection right, Gilly? And are we just being a bit harsh on this performance down in Tassie? And... were you surprised that they named the squad so early?
Yeah, I think that's probably the main thing. Maybe they could have played this game and then pick a squad out of it. And those guys still would have known they were batting for a spot, but it wouldn't have been so overtly obvious to everyone. And people like us sit around and assess it and analyse it. And
Those blokes are on a hiding to nothing, aren't they? They go up there, if they score runs, well, you're in the test squad. If they miss out... they're just going to get belted and the selectors get belted.
Yeah, there's an for sure. I think the selectors probably didn't mind creating a pressurised situation, because that's what you get when you rock out for Australia in a test match. But, it hasn't really solved. I think Labuschagne will play at three. I think he's been sort of endorsed for the moment in that position. This is all playing out with the backdrop of Smith and Warner in the background, and Bancroft possibly come Ashes.
A lot of people forget, Bancroft was the leading run scorer at the time they got banned over in South Africa, wasn't he?
Mm.
So everyone's talking about Smith and Warner, and Bancroft doesn't get much of that. When he came back into the Scorchers, you felt for him because he would have been under that much pressure. But the last couple of games, hasn't he just settled beautifully?
Yeah.
Sadly, not last night, but he was brilliant with the gloves last night, though. One stumping when he wasn't even supposed to be keeping.
Very good cricketer.
We're going to chat a little bit of Big Bash. Unfortunately, it was a loss for the Scorchers last night as far as Gilly and I are concerned. It was probably the best game of the Big Bash this season, though. It had so many ups and downs. It was actually kind of strange to watch.
Everything that is good about Big Bash cricket, isn't it? It's they were 3 for 7, the Scorchers. Yeah. Then they had a big revival. Then they lost 3 in an over again. Then a massive revival at the end of the innings. And so too with the Hurricanes. But George Bailey just...
talking about retro.
Yeah.
George Bailey. he should have been in your top five retro. I reckon he's older than me.
He's a redhead too.
Ginger, ginger or red there as well.
Ginger ninja.
Hasn't he been fantastic? And like you say, though, the Hurricanes haven't been hit with losses to the Australian team where Mitch Marsh isn't playing, Sean Marsh is not there, Jai Richardson. So there's a few guys out of that West Australian lineup, and the Hurricanes just don't get affected at all. And that's why they're sailing along at the top, isn't it?
Yeah. And they started at home. They played their first three games at home, or three in the top four, first four. And great batting conditions. Darcy Short and Matty Wade dined out down there. But they're playing well. They got a really well-balanced squad. And then Faulkner's back.
Yeah. I was just going to say, how good was it to see the finisher back?
Finisher.
Yeah. We haven't heard that for a while. It's 4 years ago, isn't it?
I thought he was finished.
yeah, the finisher was finished, but he's come back. And last night, like you say, they need, 16 off the last over, three balls.
Right. Done and dusted.
Yeah, well, it's been all Darcy Short and Matthew Wade and even McDermott at the top of the order. They haven't really needed their middle or tail enders, the Hurricanes. But as you say, I mean, it was Sam Whiteman for the Scorchers, 68 off 44 and then hurt his quad and couldn't come out to keep. But George Bailey, 69 off 39 and Jimmy Faulkner at the end there, 28 off 20. It was Jimmy Faulkner of old. And I tell you what, you'd love his mo, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, a little bit 70s porn style. Yeah, it really is. A little bit whiskey for mine. It's got to be thicker.
Got to be thicker.
70s porn style, was it? What era is yours?
Oh, there's mine's sort of, I reckon, 20s Mexican bandit.
Oh, no, I was wondering what porn star.
No, never
what about
star.
Fox Cricket tonight? Oh. We've got exclusive, live, the big derby.
I tell you what, Merv Hughes, you'd be excited about tonight, wouldn't you? It is absolutely massive. The Melbourne Derby, live and exclusive on Fox Cricket. Renegades up against the Stars and five massive inclusions. Oh. For the Renegades, they get back Aaron Finch, who can hopefully have a little bit of fun and find some form. And for the Stars, they get back Hanscom, Zampa, Maxwell, Stoinis, the Hulk. Yeah. Does anyone do a better celebration, by the way, than Marcus Stoinis?
That's good, nice, isn't it?
That's good.
But it's going to be a massive game because the Stars, when's the last time we saw them at the bottom of the table? And they've lost.
I saw them
against the Renegades their first game. No, I think it was New Year's Day.
Yep.
And very impressive. Yeah. Off the back of Stoinis and Maxwell. Then they lose those players, Zampa, to the one-day side and Hanscom to the one-day side. And Petey hasn't really played too much for the Stars, but when he has, he's been very impressive.
And 70 off 35.
So it's been a bit like that.
Finch back, and they think happy days, and then you have a look at the backs for Stars, and you just think, gee.
Oh, dear. But the Renegades, they started the tournament beautifully, then lost a few. Yeah. Then I mean, that performance against the Heat down in Geelong was atrocious.
And 3 days earlier.
Then they go up to Sydney and pull one out of the bag.
3 days earlier, they played the Heat and smashed them up in Brisbane. Come down, lose to that game. It was putrid. And then go up and at Sydney against the Sixers and you just look at him and think, how on earth did they fail against the Heat?
Yeah. Well, but they're sitting in second.
They've had a couple of veterans who've really stood up, like Dan Christian and Cooper and these kind of guys where you talk about Australian selection and a lot about picking a big bash squad is picking who will be left if these guys get picked.
List management, isn't it?
Yeah. So you look at tonight and that is a star-studded lineup really for both teams.
Early on, there was the experienced players of the Renegades that weren't like Tommy Cooper's come good. But early on, he wasn't doing too much at all. Cameron White was actually dropped from the side.
Yep.
And he's come back in. And
it was the young guys, Mackenzie Harvey and Sammy Harper.
Harper. Done very well.
Yeah. And Harris. Nick and Jack Riewoldt going to be there, mic'd up throughout the evening. They're running water for the respective teams.
Do they swap sides?
They do. I believe they swap from the New Year's Day battle. Yeah. They're going to switch over teams.
So this is for Maddie's vision?
That's exactly right. Yeah. They're going to be fundraising tonight, but they're going to be on microphone throughout the evening, so we'll be talking to them a lot.
Do they trash talk each other? We'll find out.
They're a bit respectful of each other, to be honest, but there's a little bit of... Yeah.
And plus, they're both forward, so they'd never cross paths on the footy ground, would they?
No, not really. Oh. Not really. But it was great to see Hugh Jackman, a great friend of ours at Triple M. Even he got involved with Maddie's vision and sent a tweet out the other day to his bazillion followers, which is absolutely amazing because it is a wonderful cause.
Yes, no doubt.
All right, there is more coming up, but before we go to the break, just as we finish off the Big Bash, I wanted to know what you guys thought about the lights out at the Gabba situation, because I tell you what, it's turned into a very, very entertaining Twitter battle between the Thunder up against the Heat, with Baz McCullum having cracks at the Thunder, because they wanted to get the 2 points because it was Brisbane's fault. Baz has just gone bang as though he's out in the middle and facing an average spinner, and then Moses Enriquez has gotten involved, who plays for the Sixers, and he's stood up and said there's a precedent that's been set that the New South Wales lost the points because of the ground at the SCG a couple of years ago in a Shield game, and then Baz has gone back at Moses, and then Linny's got involved, and it's the Big Bash Brothers on Twitter. I tell you what, it's been very entertaining.
I haven't followed that little. I have to go back and have a look at that thread. But what about the am I right in saying that Brendan McCullum, after Shane Watson, Thunder's captain, offered to bowl spin only? That's how desperate they were to play. We'll just bowl spinners.
They were 2 for 10. They could have bowled left-handed.
Well,
but the situation of the game, you have a look at it. Both Lynn and McCullum out. You would think that with that score on the board, Thunder's going on to win that.
They weren't getting there, were they? But I think they said no to that spin-only option because Brendan McCullum said, we're worried about our fans in the crowd getting hit. So that's a big rap for the Thunder spinners.
I still think the best one was Peter Lawler, who's come out and said, isn't there a day-night test match there soon?
Mm. Yeah. Next week.
It's very concerning indeed.
Pay your bill.
This was Brendan McCullum. This was Brendan McCullum to the Thunder who want the win. This is ridiculous. So Thunder, you want points awarded based on ground standards. Where was the responsibility to provide a roof at Spotless Stadium when it pissed down with rain a week ago? Also, are you sure you are winning that game? ? Crack on.
Sure you're winning it. That was just going to be the biggest percentage booster of all time.
It's time now for the cricket stock market.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M.
Nobody.
Cricket stock market.
All right, boys, buy, sell or hold the Aussie retro one-day uniforms. I say sell, 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 sold out.
Oh, well, I'll buy them all. I love it. Yeah,
no, I love it, but they're sold out. That's how much they're selling.
They're all gone, aren't they?
They're all gone.
Wouldn't you hold for next season, get a little bit more for them?
Should they wear them at the World Cup?
Yes.
That was a great call. Shane Warne said that on air. Message to the ICC, let's have every team in retro gear.
Yeah, you get the West Indies back in that popular, wouldn't it? Pink outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but definitely, that's an absolute winner. So do you hang on to winners or do you buy winners? You buy winners, don't you?
You buy them, but they have literally sold out. They've run out.
Bought them all.
No, I've bought them all.
So we have to buy them off you at an inflated price now, do we?
Yeah. I'm a smart girl. That's what the stock market's all
about. The stock market talk here, are we?
I thought we were supposed to answer it.
Yeah, but anyway.
So we get the opportunity to buy first normally, don't we?
Normally.
I was just bringing the facts to the table.
That depends what market you're in. We've got the Wolf of Wall Street in it.
The Gabba Lights, buy, sell, or hold,
get
man.
Get rid of them. Get rid of them.
Yeah, sell.
Lay
sell,
off.
Sell, pay your bill. That's right.
So, cash in some money and pay your bill.
It's no good. The Big Bash is the icon of the summer, isn't it, really? It is. It's what Cricket Australia really hinge everything on.
Yeah.
The Test cricket, like international cricket's superb, but domestically it's up there. And for us to have a mistake like that, and it's no one's fault. I know these things happen, but we've just got to be a little – what can we do to stop it happening again?
We'll have a big, dirty, big generator there that's a backup device.
It's got to be a big generator.
Yeah.
But why can't we come back and play the second innings the next day? I mean, even if it doesn't have fans there, why can we not do that at least rather than just say no result? Because it was such an entertaining game with Shane Watson in veteran
– retro.
Yeah, yeah.
He's retro. I think that's a – logistical nightmare that would there, because there's another game the next day somewhere else.
Come back in the morning.
But the thing about the lights too is that they've got to be switched off at a certain time for the neighbourhood. So everyone jumps up and down. There's all these laws and things and I reckon it's ridiculous. You go out, if you get the lights working again, just finish the game.
Well, that's the question. Was it dangerous out there if spin bowlers were being bowled? And the team fielding offered to bowl spinners. I'm not sure it was dangerous.
Well, 2 for 10, I'd be bowling Nerf balls.
Buy, sell or hold. Hobart Hurricanes win the BBL, Merv.
Hold. Hold. Mm. They're running hot at the moment, but a lot of teams are going to get players back. So we're going to see. I don't think the Stars can actually make the finals, can they?
How many games have they got? Yeah, they can. They won't if they win every game.
There's 14 games this year, isn't there?
Yeah, they've got six more to go. If they win every game,
they'll be dangerous. Scorchers are going to be dangerous again. So I'm holding that.
Yeah, it was just watching George Bailey on the replay when he got out. He almost won the game. I think he thought that he lost them the game when he got out. He was very, very expressive and just swearing
on Fox
Cricket.
That should have been the loss.
The finisher got it done, though, we should have had a little bit more faith in Jimmy Faulkner.
The finisher.
Buy, sell, or hold 10-team World Cup, Gilly?
Let me think. I think we need a couple more teams at least. There's got to be a bit more incentive for these developing cricket nations to come in. So what's that, a sell?
The best thing about the World Cup, I think, whether it's T20 format or 50-over format, is when a minnow beats England.
Well, that West Indies.
And just before we go too much further, Australia play Afghanistan, first game of this World Cup coming up in England this year.
What happens when we played Scotland first game a couple of years? Did you play that one?
I played that in 1999. We just snuck over the line.
Did you win that one? I thought you were beaten.
Yeah.
No, we won. It's an interesting one, but I'm with Gilly. You've got it. Like, the best World Cup I've been to was that West Indies World Cup. We went and saw Bangladesh beat South Africa,
mm-hmm.
and then we saw Ireland beat Bangladesh. So it gives them hope, and if those smaller nations play and they have a win in the World Cup, to them, that'd be like actually winning the World Cup.
Yep.
So you've got to give them incentive.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M.
Nobody.
Cricket stock market.
Yes, the cricket stock market continues on Willow Talk. Boys, Matthew Wade is stiff to not be playing test cricket. Buy, sell, or hold?
Well, we could have a full playing 11 of keeper batsmen if we wanted to.
We were saying this yesterday, weren't we?
Yeah, Wade, Bancroft, Doran.
Whiteman.
Yeah.
the way that he was playing last night.
Payne's already in there. Yeah, Carey, give him a go. I reckon the only question mark is, he may well have been encouraged to bat up a bit higher earlier. So I'm going to say hold.
This drives me crazy, excuse. Because
he's a wicketkeeper.
Aaron Finch was picked out of position to fix a problem for Cricket Australia, and then they never gave him the chance to play him in his normal position, which is down the order. Yet they say they won't pick Matthew Wade because he's batting too far down the order and they don't want to pick him out of position. You can't use one excuse for one thing and not for the other. Anyway,
I reckon
you can say what you want.
I reckon Finchie got picked a bit off his one-day form too, so he opens there. But it was ridiculous that he's been picked to play a test match as an opener and there's a Shield match in between and Victoria don't open him. So it's a greater good, isn't it? So you work towards that. I'm going to sell that. There's other batsmen around the place that should be in before him. If Tim Payne gets injured, he's virtually straight in, isn't he?
So he's a wicketkeeper. Shouldn't be a specialist batsman.
For mine, he's not. Not a good enough batsman to be a specialist batsman.
Perhaps the most controversial buy, sell, or hold on this list, and for the summer, the BBL bat flip.
Buy. I've got it all.
Really?
You've got to buy them off me.
He's staring at me right now in a really kind of scary way.
It's an aggressive glare.
I feel like Joe Richardson on an entree plate.
You jumped in early last time.
You liked it.
I reckon it's fantastic.
I don't reckon it's going to last.
I don't like it at all.
You'll be saying that in 100 years, Gil. This is not going to last. This is an absolute winner. Go out, toss a coin. Yeah, flip the bat.
It's for the kids. You've got four kids. Yeah. How do they feel about it? Do they like it?
I thought it would be more exciting for the kids. I go, wow, that's a pretty cool innovation in Big Bash cricket, but I don't think it's quite caught on.
I reckon it's fantastic. So you're selling. I've got it all.
Okay.
Happy days. We'll be here in another 100 years, Gil. Mark my words.
The final cricket stock market topic for this morning. MS Dhoni is the best one-day finisher of all time. Buy, sell, or hold?
I think so, although I'm just looking across your shoulder there, Nez, at the replay of the Big Bash game last night and James Faulkner standing on the screen.
There's only room for one finisher.
They need 17 off seven balls at the replay at the minute, but it's... I think MS, he's got to be one of the...
Outstanding. He's outstanding, isn't he? He doesn't panic. He just goes at his own pace. And like you said before, a lot of people argue that he gets the game into the situation that if he gets out, no one else can win it, but he doesn't get out.
No, that's right.
There's a part of me, though, that just sits there going, Michael Bevan will always be the best finisher in one-day cricket in my eyes.
Yeah.
Bevo was a good one there.
He was outstanding and well before his time with
okay,
no
let's
T20
go. MS Dane is the most recent best finisher.
of all time.
I'm not sure that's how the stock markets work. There was a moment earlier in this show where Murphy's made a statement and it raised a few eyebrows in this studio, I must admit, but I didn't want to say anything at the time. But
you checked it.
Gilly, you've done a fact check. And is
it
true?
The quote was, long is it since the Melbourne Stars have been at the bottom of the table?
Yeah.
Indeed, it was last year. They finished last. 2 wins, 8 losses, net run rate of -0.9.
Seems so long ago, though.
It does. A long time. A year's a long time in cricket.
What are you laughing at? You're cruel.
There needs to be a fact check.
This time last year, we'd won 4-0 in the Ashes. Yeah, we were dominating world cricket.
I like the way that you didn't say anything, but you checked it and then have a go at me. at least I'm prepared to put it out there.
Oh, I love working
even
with you,
Even if it is wrong.
You make us look good. We don't have to say a word.
Gilly, you're off to Marvel Stadium this evening for Fox Cricket. What happens in that one?
I just think the Renegades, I do. I just think even though the Stars are packed full of 4 Australian players, I just think the Renegades might get there.
Merv, what do you reckon tonight?
Soup over.
I like
nice,
it.
Nice.
Soup over. Maxi and it'll be Stoinis and Maxi for the Stars and just send Finchie out by himself.
to bowl.
Finchie to win. There you go, the red.
I like it. I'd love to see a smile back on Aaron Finch's face. He's a lovely country Victorian boy. All right, that's all we got time for on Triple M's Willow Talk.
But next week,
lovely boy. Is that all right?
No, just when you said country, I didn't know where you were going with it.
unlike you, Merv, unlike you, he is a lovely boy, a lovely man.
Sorry to interrupt what you're
Thank
doing in the outro.
Goodness he's not back next week. I'll be alongside Gilly as well as Greg Blewett. We'll be coming from Brisbane as the first test starts, the day-nighter between Australia and Sri Lanka. Thanks for your company on Willow Talk. Have a cracking weekend.
That stumps on Triple M's Willow Talk.
Yes, they've done well.
Want a head start on the show for next week?
Catch it Saturdays on Triple M.
Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin, trade strong.